Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Generation Y ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today. Listen to a bold new take on George Orwell's classic 1984 on Audible, starring an epic cast with Andrew Garfield, Cynthia Erivo, and Andrew Scott, and featuring Tom Hardy as Big Brother. Plus, a haunting original score by Matthew Bellamy and Elon Ashkari that takes this thrilling production to the next level. Experience an immersive listening experience like nothing you've heard before. This chilling tale of constant surveillance, thought police, and rebellion is more relevant now than ever. Big Brother is watching and listening. Hear why those who control the past control the future. Listen to George Orwell's 1984 on Audible now. Go to audible.com/bigbrother.
We're brought to you by Audible. Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, or doing your chores. I usually listen to Audible when I'm on a plane because it's the best way to keep my mind off the boredom and claustrophobia of being in a plane. I'm currently listening to The Long Walk. It was one of Stephen King's first books that he wrote under Richard Bachman. It's an incredible story about teens who are volunteered to go on a long walk. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. Right now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/GWP or text GWP to 500-500. That's audible.com/GWP or text GWP to 500-500. Tonight, Aaron.
Great, Justin. How are you?
I'm doing great. First, a quick correction and a huge apology to the author of Wicked Takes the Witness Stand, Marty Link. I was reading off a bunch of stuff that night, and I was looking at the journalist who was reporting on the case when I said it, and it just all got screwed up in my head. So if you want to read the book, it's amazing. Wicked Takes the Witness Stand by Marty Link.
And I just did a guest spot on another podcast called About Face. And it's a cool little show, personal stories about people that change their life around or go through a major change. So check that out. And I guess we're going to skip across the pond soon.
The pond? The Atlantic Ocean, you mean?
Whatever.
Yes, we're actually going to be visiting the UK. So if you're interested in meeting with us in Manchester or London, the dates for those, July 6th is Manchester and July 7th is London. More info is coming. You might want to stay tuned to our Facebook page or just pay attention to the podcast. We'll be putting out updates as we get them.
We got a very interesting and polite email the other day, something that I very much enjoyed reading. Who was this from?
Well, there was a man that had sent us a scathing email about a couple years ago, and I responded, you know, in a nice way and just tried to address his concerns or answer to some of the points he was making, and I never heard back.
This is why you respond and I don't.
To be honest, when we get emails like that, I usually have some sort of an internal reaction. It could either be, I'm just going to delete this, or it could be, I want to reply to this person. And it's really just a matter of, do I think they'll read it? And if I think they'll read it, I'll respond. And so I responded to the email. It felt like it went into the ether. And then I got this email in. And the guy had written back and said that he had done some thinking about it after listening to your Peripheral episode, which was titled, So You Want to Be a Podcaster, which when you did that, it was just sort of like a pet project for you. And then it kind of blew up and it became this big thing. You've gotten so many messages from listeners and from podcasters telling you about, you know, how it hit them. And then we have this guy who had basically given up on us. And then I guess he realized that by writing to us in such an inflammatory way, he said it made him think that he made our work not fun, where we wouldn't enjoy it. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It's if you're doing something you love and you get any kind of criticism or scathing email, going to demotivate you to continue doing what you love.
Yeah, or you just get in a funk that day. But this email was so well written and so apologetic, I was almost moved to tears because he wanted us to know that he appreciates us and that any kind of negative reaction he has is really his own issue. And he doesn't need to blast us with it when he said most of the time he loves what we're doing. And so just because once in a while something happens on a show we do that might bother him, it's not something that he should take to us. So I thought it was a great email. And really what the lesson here is send someone a nice message. You know, it could be a teacher of yours. It could be a friend. It could be a podcaster. Just send a nice message at some point and tell someone you support them, because it makes a lot of difference. In this world, it's so easy to criticize and bring people down.
I never want to be responsible for somebody else's downfall. I only want to be responsible for uplifting somebody or getting them to success.
This episode is brought to you by June's Journey. Unleash your inner sleuth and step into the glamorous 1920s. Uncover scandalous family secrets and solve the mysterious murder of June Parker's sister. With dazzling hidden object scenes and riveting storylines in each chapter, June's Journey invites you to a thrilling era of mystery and romance. And now, June needs your help, detective. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. Your adventure awaits.
If you're like me and refuse to let go of your skinny jeans, you're a millennial. And if you're a millennial, it's time to add Clarins Multi-Active Cream to your daily routine. Rooted in nature and innovated with science, Clarins has a long legacy of creating industry-first, plant-forward products. Using a skin charger complex made of 2% niacinamide and sea holly bioextract, Clarins Multi-Active Cream has been clinically proven to target the first visible signs of aging by smoothing lines and wrinkles, refining pores, evening tone and texture, and strengthening the skin's moisture barrier. While Multi-Active Cream can't bring back the golden age of boy bands, it can de-stress your skin. Clarins Multi-Active Cream is available online now. Go to clarins.com/truecrime and get Multi-Active Day and Night Cream for 10% off, a free welcome gift, plus free shipping on your first order. That's clarins.com/truecrime with promo code TRUECRIME. clarins.com/truecrime with promo code TRUECRIME. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
So, what are we talking about tonight, Aaron?
Tonight, we're talking about a case from Holtville, Alabama. And typically, we don't cover very recent cases in the last year. But this is the kind of case that really grabbed my attention. You know, after I talked to you about it, you had the same reaction, which is, we have to talk about this.
Yeah, and we usually don't cover cases that haven't gone to trial yet either. It's very rare that we do, and this is one of those cases where I feel it's okay because the evidence, the facts of the case are already pretty clear, so we can just put it out there.
Yeah, and also, some people get concerned about innocent until proven guilty, and let me just say that that's true. But in this case, and in some other cases we've looked at, it's not so much about the legal side of this. It's just people looking at it. What is their reaction here? What do they think happened? So we will give opinions. This is the kind of case that may not go to trial.
Which is weird because we've seen other cases go to trial with way less evidence. But, you know.
Well, we'll get into that.
Yeah.
This case, a mother and son who have gone missing, and this was in 2017. Susan Osborne, 42, and her son Evan, 14.
Susan and Evan were both from Michigan, and she ended up moving to Alabama with her first husband for a job. They would later separate and get divorced. She met another man and had a daughter, so she has two kids.
By 2017, Susan had two kids. Her oldest was Evan, and at the time, he was 14. She also had a daughter named Hannah, but things weren't really working out with these guys, and she ended up finally meeting a guy in 2016 named Jerry Osborne. Jerry Osborne lived in Alabama, and he was an Air Force veteran. But before we get into Jerry too much, let's talk about Susan and Evan, because they did spend good quality time together, and one of their passions was fishing. In fact, Evan made his own lures. They went on a little bit of a fishing trip just before she met Jerry. Another thing about Evan was he had a stutter. As we know, if you're a kid and you stutter and you're at school, you could be picked on for that, right? I don't know if you ever had any issues like that in school, but I knew of a kid like that before, and there would be kids who would tease him, etc.
I got picked on for just having a skateboard, so I could only imagine if I had a stutter too.
But what was said about Evan was, even though he had a stutter, he was a pretty popular kid. A lot of people liked him. Susan also had two dogs. They were terriers. One was Nook and the other one was Sugar. And she loved these dogs. Susan's mother, Linda, would visit them around Mother's Day. According to her, she had a great visit. Later in June, she traveled up to Michigan for her granddaughter's graduation. She started sending pictures from the graduation to her daughter, Susan. And this was not like her, but Susan wasn't answering those messages that her mom was sending.
Now, the family knows that Susan's married a man named Jerry, but they hadn't been together that long. And with the distance from, you know, Michigan to Alabama, they didn't know much about Jerry. So they're not exactly comfortable with reaching out to Jerry to see why their daughter's not returning phone calls.
Yeah, in fact, I'm not sure they knew how to contact Jerry. I don't think they had a phone number for him. And Linda said she'd only met Jerry two or three times. And again, that's the distance.
And her daughter, Susan, is a grown woman. She does have her own life. She has kids. If she's not responding, maybe she's busy. She's still not responding. I don't know. Did I say something wrong? Is she mad at me? Is she still not responding? I don't know anymore. Should I keep calling? But after a couple months, the phone number no longer works. And she sends some letters, and one of them comes back, return to sender. So Susan's mother is thinking something's up here.
Susan had a best friend named Holly Hatfield, who had lived in Alabama up until about 2 or 3 weeks before Susan went missing. She was trying to contact her as well because, you know, she and Susan talked all the time, a lot by text or by email, but she wasn't getting any replies either. So she was concerned. Again, it's a similar thing where, according to her friend, Holly, she was thinking, well, maybe she's mad that I moved away, because now she's kind of alone. She just has her husband and she has her son and sometimes her daughter, but maybe she feels abandoned. I mean, she really doesn't have anyone from her own family or really any friends down there. So maybe she's just not in the mood, right? And, you know, it's funny, I will call my mom once in a while. And then when I talk to her, she'll say, oh, I've missed your voice. And then it's like, well, why didn't you call me? And she goes, well, I don't want to bother you.
If I went away for 2 months, I don't even think my mom would notice. So, yeah.
Well, the reason why we bring this up is it took about 2 months before the police were contacted. And by that, I mean the Elmore County Sheriff's Department, right?
Yeah. She when that letter came back returned to sender and when the phone was shut off, she knew there was something wrong at that point. So she took it the next step. I think her last voice message was, if you don't call me back, I'm going to come down there and show up on your front door. Well, instead, she's calling the police because this is not a good situation.
So let's talk about why she might be missing, because it turns out Holly had some good information and her mom had some of this information, but Holly and Susan had been trading emails. And what was that information, Justin?
Well, it was about Jerry, her new husband. And she was, I would say, complaining about him. But it wasn't just, he won't wash the dishes. It was, he's very controlling. And he won't let me call my friends. He won't let me do the things I want to do. Yeah, I mean, he was like checking her phone and emails.
Well, I think he was just really checking her phone because when she wanted to communicate some secret information to her friend, she would only do it by email. And she would say, don't talk about this via text, emails only. So I think she had some confidence that her emails were safe for whatever reason.
Yeah, got it. So they were speaking about this and her friend Holly is a little worried, I'm sure, but people have not so great relationships all the time. You know, whether it be a gripe or a valid complaint, you know, we all accept, if one of our friends is in love with somebody, we try to accept their choice and we try to be supportive and not critical of the person they're with. So I think these factors come into play, but when she's saying that he's very controlling and then all of a sudden she drops off the map, it's something to consider.
There was also another secret that was revealed to Holly. Susan found out that her husband, Jerry, had been at a previous time a member of a site named Boyscort, which is an escort site for men looking to hook up with other men for money.
Right. He has tattoos on his body, very identifiable tattoos. And one of the pictures is a man who's put himself in handcuffs or bondage, and he's unclothed, showing his backside. And she recognizes all of his tattoos. So it's not mistaken identity or anything like that. It's his picture, and she can recognize her own husband.
And so, yeah, there's no way that Susie has this wrong. That was her husband. Only she never knew about this.
This is very, I don't know, Kathleen Peterson, Michael Peterson-y to me. It's reminiscent of, is this a secret? Well, yeah. And she says to her friend, I found this out. He's never told me this. He's been hiding something from me.
She also doesn't stay in the same bed with him after that. There seems to be some issue there where she's not wanting her husband to know everything that she knows, but he has to know she's upset with him.
I assume that if he's going out and having sex with other people, she doesn't know if he's using protection. She doesn't know if he's being safe about it. So she's protecting herself by no longer sleeping with him. And if she's already somewhat afraid of him, because he's lying to her, because he's controlling, then if he knows that she knows about this huge alternative lifestyle, this huge lie that he's hiding from her, she has no idea how he's going to respond. So she has to keep it a secret.
They have a security system at their house. Their house was, at the time, I think it was about 4 to 5 years old. And the security system had cameras at every entrance. It monitored all the, you know, windows, doors. So I think he was monitoring the house, her phone. And quite often when someone has a secret, they really like to know what you know, and they like to know what you're doing. And I'm sure part of this control had to do with making sure she didn't find out. And if she did find out, he wanted to know about it.
It's sort of a weird projection thing. If you have a secret, then you want to control other people and control the information and track them as if they have a secret when really it's you.
Now, Holly was told at some point before the disappearance that Susan wanted to work stuff out with Jerry. She decided that she really loved him. I mean, she was interested in him from the moment she met him. She wanted it to work. There's not a lot of information on this, but going just off of that, I could see where her friend Holly would say, you know, this is what she wants. I mean, we have to support her.
So the last correspondence that they had with her was May 29th. And they ended up filing a missing persons report on July 29th. Now, she calls the Elmore County Sheriff's Department, asks them to do, I guess, a welfare check on the home and her daughter.
Well, when they showed up, Jerry answered the door and he appeared to be doing some heavy cleaning around the house.
Yeah, lots of chemical smells between, I'm sure, bleach, ammonia, and hydrogen peroxide. Yeah, things that might destroy DNA, but I don't know. I've never Googled that. They ask him where his wife is, where Susan is, and where is Evan? And he says they are no longer at the house, right?
Yeah, he said some strange man showed up at the house, collected his wife and her son, and took off, and that she was leaving him.
They notice that her car is there at the house. A lot of her stuff is there. So she left her vehicle, which is weird, but I guess that's why he had to say a man came and picked her up, because she left her car.
Well, so the next question was, can you give us a description of the man that took them? Well, Jerry really wasn't good at giving details about this guy.
Well, if you only saw him once, it was a really quick meeting. Yeah, I get it.
Well, it just strikes me as odd if they had some issues and then she said she was going to try and work it out with him, and then some guy shows up unexpectedly and takes his wife and her kid. He doesn't have a problem with that. There's not even an exchange of words or anything. It's like, yeah, he came, picked them up, and then they left, and then that's it.
I'm going to speculate a little bit here. Either it was a loveless marriage and he just didn't care she left, or what she said about him is true. He's a controlling husband, and he wouldn't have just let her leave. So, spy the lie. The police keep questioning him, and they're finding out that he's unable to provide any useful information. They go asking around the neighborhood, like, have you seen Susan? Have you seen anything weird going on? And the neighbors will talk about how Jerry has been burning stuff in the backyard. And there's so much black smoke in the air sometimes. It's so small, like it's so obvious that this guy's burning crap in his backyard that it's bothering the neighbors. And this all happened right after the disappearance.
We're brought to you by ZipRecruiter. So the other day, Aaron and I were trying to get concert tickets to a show we really wanted to see. And I waited before I bought my ticket. And guess what? I missed my chance. And that's why you have to act quickly or somebody else will get it instead. It's like hiring for your business. If you want to find the most talented people for your roles, you have to scoop them up before the competition does. So that's why the best way to do that is ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. And immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Take a moment to get a word from our sponsor, Quince. Do you need to upgrade your wardrobe or home essentials at an unbeatable price? Well, Quince has you covered with timeless pieces that never go out of style, and you'll have them in your closet forever. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% off less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that are safe, ethical, with responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. How can you not love that? I recently got a duvet cover and a pair of awesome relaxed jeans. They're stretchy too. You can find all kinds of stuff at Quince. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/GenY for free shipping on your first order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/GenY to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/GenY.
So when the police are hearing this, a guy's cleaning his house, the neighbors have witnessed him burning stuff in the backyard, like furniture and sheets and clothing, and her car's in the driveway. The cops, yeah, they're feeling this is a little suspicious, and they go and get a search warrant, right?
Well, inside the home, they see that things have drastically changed. And through interviews, they're able to find out that the home was remodeled by Jerry, by himself, on his own. And he had changed out flooring. He had gotten rid of all the furniture, repainted the walls.
Even pulling out some drywall completely and putting up new.
Yeah. Just some major changes to a home that was only about 5 years old at that point. And so it was really suspicious. Now, Jerry's lawyer, Trey Norman, was able to answer some questions that the authorities had. One of them was, why is he remodeling this home? Well, according to the lawyer, it wasn't for any suspicious reasons. It was because his parents encouraged him to do something about the home because, one, they didn't like what Susan had done with the home. And two, before she left, apparently she had spray painted graffiti, very vulgar graffiti, on the walls. So he was sort of forced to do it.
I get that if it was a bad breakup and she spray painted the walls with stuff, you would have to repaint. But this guy ripped up hardwood flooring and put down new flooring and carpet. I guess if you don't like the flooring, you can replace it. But I just would assume that that's a big project. Somebody leaves and you immediately go into remodel mode. Very circumstantial.
Well, he was turning it into more of a bachelor pad. They said that when you entered the home after the remodeling, there was no evidence of a woman ever having lived there.
Well, maybe he was having his clients come to the house.
So he burned a lot of stuff. And to burn a lot of that stuff, he had bought a lot of gasoline.
There's receipts. There's documentation of all this stuff he's bought. I guess when I get rid of things, I either rent a dumpster or I put it in the trunk or the back of my truck and I drive it to a dump or a dumpster somewhere and get rid of it the old-fashioned way. Or just call large street pickup, you know, get that couch. But he feels that breaking this furniture up and burning it in the backyard is the most effective way. And, we're in the Midwest. I know people burn stuff in their backyards, but he's in a residential area. It's not like he's out in the country, and the neighbors think it's very odd and over the top how much stuff he was burning.
Yeah, you have neighbors down the street who are coughing and looking around and seeing all this black smoke and thinking, what the hell is the guy down the street doing?
He's like, this is why we don't live in LA. We live in Alabama, so we don't have to put up with all this.
So back to this search warrant. They're looking through the home, and because it's all been remodeled, they don't see anything. I mean, there's new furniture, new flooring, new carpet, new everything. And so as they're walking around, they think, we're going to need some help. And so they call in the Alabama FBI, basically. And the feds are going to come in and look for evidence of a crime taking place there, which is they're going to bring in luminol. It's the chemical that hits upon evidence of blood. It reacts to the iron in the hemoglobin.
And there's different ways to do this. Hey, I've had dogs myself. I know that, you know, you take a black light to your carpet after a few months with some dogs and you're going to get some hits, but luminol is supposed to react with bodily fluids and they come in and spread this around. Well, according to the FBI, they say it looks like a murder scene.
Yeah, they found evidence.
I mean, normally people say this when there's a whole mess and there's a something they're cleaning up. They're like, oh, it looks like a murder scene in here. But here the FBI is actually using it literally.
They found 20 locations in the home where evidence of blood was found. The laundry room, the guest bathroom, and the kitchen. So 20 locations. And they're collecting this evidence and they send it off to be tested. What they're hoping is that they can get DNA profiles from the blood to let them know whether this blood came from Evan or his mother, Susie.
Now, before they were able to do this, they witnessed Jerry perpetually cleaning the house. Cleaning a house that's being remodeled or freshly remodeled. It's kind of interesting scenario here.
The other thing they find is evidence on his computer. And this is where it's kind of a mystery because the sheriff was asked about what was found and all he would say was the searches he was making are searches that no normal person would be making. Now, I know that's going to send off alarms in your heads because as true crime fanatics, you're thinking, well, if they only saw my search history, but really the sheriff is hinting that they found evidence that he was searching for things that would, well, be very suspicious. The other thing they found was, and I had mentioned it before, but he had this elaborate security system.
Yeah, let's go look at the footage from this date.
Well, the problem is this security system, which was in working order, was entirely replaced the day after Susan and her son went missing.
So it's not even a situation of, oh, it recorded over the past history. It was he removed it with a new one. So no forensic IT team could do an analysis on that hard drive where it would have had the video files. Got it.
Yeah. And just as a reminder, if you're not an IT person or don't know about this, but when things are deleted, they're only marked as available to write over. And so a lot of times the forensic computer specialist can go in there and they can reconstruct much of the data that was supposedly deleted. So let's just put this out there. If Jerry Osborne had anything to do with his wife's disappearance or her son's disappearance, well, he's had a lot of time to work on getting rid of evidence. And apparently he knows what he's doing because these blood tests, they come back as the samples are too degraded. They can't get DNA profiles. They just know it was blood. That's it.
And this guy is so confident that Susie and Evan are still alive that he provides law enforcement with a, I think it's a dentist appointment slip that Evan was supposed to attend. He had an appointment that he went to. But the slip wasn't for an appointment he went to. It was for an appointment he missed.
Yeah, which is unlike Evan because Susie always made sure Evan made his appointments and he was on medication. And so this just didn't make sense that he would hand this over and say, look, he had an appointment. That doesn't mean anything. He missed it.
Yeah, it's weird logic in his mind. People will say that, well, he was very controlling and abusive and Susan was afraid for her life. So maybe she just fled and she left her dogs and she left her daughter, Hannah, who was living elsewhere.
Yeah. And if you listen to her mother or her friend or any other family members like her brother, she would not have left Hannah behind. So it just doesn't make sense. And again, she loved her dogs. It turns out that on June 12th, Jerry took her dogs and dropped them off at an animal shelter. Well, Holly became concerned when she found out that the dogs had been taken to a shelter And she called her mother, because at this point, Hallie was not in Alabama, right? She had moved to, I think it was Key West, Florida, and later she would move to South Carolina. But she called her mother, and her mother went to the shelter. Now, the two dogs were Sugar and Nook was already gone. So I think Nook had already been adopted out, but Sugar was still there. And so her mother, Wanda, took the dog. And so they have Susan's dog.
So I get it. If you're in an abusive relationship with a controlling dude, you might just flee and not tell anybody. But you're not going to tell your own daughter? You're not going to reach out to her? Also, you're going to flee and never contact anybody? You're not going to flee in your own vehicle?
Susie never even contacted her son's school to say he's transferring. And they never received any paperwork or any requests for paperwork.
For his transcripts.
Yeah, there was nothing ever, no alerts, nothing. So again, people are out there who say, well, maybe Susie ran away with her son and they're trying to stay away from Jerry. But it's been over a year and they've not been heard from. The phones have been cut off. There's just no word at all.
You pointed out a lot of good things here. She hasn't registered her son in any schools. They haven't gotten any transcripts, which they would probably require if he was enrolled somewhere. She left her car. Her credit cards haven't been used.
Well, that's another thing is after Susan got married, she quit working. She was a stay-at-home mom and attend to her kids, and her husband worked. Her husband used to be in the Air Force, and then he was medically discharged, and then he became a 911 dispatcher at the Air Force Base. I think it's Maxwell Air Force Base, but he is currently a civilian.
But he had to have this other side job for extra income when he was employed, and he wasn't telling his wife about it.
Yeah, it's a real question of exactly when he was doing that, if he was still continuing to do that or still continuing to contact other men or women while he was married to Susie.
Again, this is me speculating again, but it doesn't sound like he's really in it for the money. I think it's an alternative lifestyle that he is part of.
Yeah, it could go either way. On that for a moment, I remember when we covered the Peterson case, you weren't so sure that someone would murder over such a secret as that, over a secret homosexual lifestyle. But this case, if, and again, this is an if Jerry made his wife and her son disappear, what's the motivation? You could say maybe she was planning to leave him. But then again, the last word anyone had was that she and Jerry were going to work it out, according to her. So maybe that's not it. But then the other possibility is because he found out she knew about his escort services, then perhaps he was willing to murder to keep that secret.
He was the breadwinner in the relationship at that time. So her leaving isn't a financial severance with him. So I look at it as he didn't want her to leave. And if he's that controlling, then that's the motive.
Yeah, very controlling. We know from the messages that she shared with Hallie that he was spying on her with the cameras, probably. He was checking on her phone. He was not allowing her to make certain calls at times. Just really involved in her life. So it wasn't really her life anymore. It was whatever Jerry decided it was.
If anyone's read the book or saw the movie Gone Girl, this would have to be the alternative scenario. If it's not foul play, then this is an elaborate scheme on Susan's part where she told friends and family about this controlling husband and has completely set him up and then has deposited blood all over the house and then left him high and dry and has never contacted anyone to frame him. I mean, that's the alternative theory here, I think. I mean, other than he was controlling and she just fled. But taking all the evidence and all the facts here, it sounds similar to Gone Girl, which Gone Girl is a fictional story, and I don't think that's what happened.
Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Some of us spend our lives wishing we had more time, but time for what? If time was unlimited, what would you use it for? If you need to squeeze a special thing into your schedule, do you even know what's important to you and how to make that a priority? Well, with therapy, you can find out what matters to you so you can do more of it. We all need to vent sometimes. We all need to talk about some of the things that have happened to us. And I'll tell you right now, your friends might be sick of hearing about it. So take the burden off them. Let a professional help you. Sometimes it's as simple as just getting something off your back and letting somebody else know so you can feel validated and move on with your life. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/GenY today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GenY.
See, I think the message that Jerry's lawyer has tried to convey was, you know, people can look at what he was doing with the cleaning and the remodeling and say, oh, he's trying to cover up a crime scene here. He's trying to make sure he doesn't go to prison. But, you know, his lawyer, Trey, is just saying, hey, he didn't like the way the house was set up. His wife had left him. So now it was his place. And, well, it's time for a fresh start. And that's how he wanted to do it. It was his parents' idea in the first place. So, again, if he didn't do it, then all of his actions are very suspicious. But are they really proof of anything? It's really a perception, right?
Well, every time there's a spouse that goes missing and then the husband or even wife starts selling off everything, starts buying new stuff, doing all this remodeling work, it always looks suspicious because there's a very heightened situation going on. So every action is going to be analyzed under a microscope. But in this case, I don't think you can look any more suspicious. We have other cases that there's way less evidence against people and the cops have pressed them. Jerry has lawyered up like he should, and it's his right. And he is not answering any more questions for law enforcement or from the family.
At the 1-year mark, after Susie and her son had gone missing, there was a candlelight vigil held, and there were a number of family and friends that showed up for this vigil. As you know, it's a very emotional affair. Everyone was talking about them, their memories of them. And I think the one thing, and I wasn't there, but I get the feeling that really no one believes that Susan or her son is alive anymore. I think the going idea is that they're dead and that they were murdered, that it was foul play. And so the vigil is part of an effort to remember them, remember who they were, and also to highlight that this is an ongoing case because there have been no arrests made. I mean, the most we've gotten out of the sheriff's department is that Jerry is the only person of interest in the case. You know, they're not going to tell the public everything. It's an ongoing case. It's an open investigation. But there's been a lot of hints dropped. And it seems to me that they believe Jerry did something here. They believe he's responsible for the disappearance of Susan and Evan. And so the question everybody has is, well, why hasn't he been arrested? I know from talking to a couple of different police officers in the last 6 to 8 months that they have to be careful when they bring a case forward to the DA, because district attorneys don't just take what they're given and run with them. They look over the cases, and if they feel the case is kind of shaky, they probably won't run with it because it's a lot of time and effort that will be wasted and a case destroyed possibly. I mean, a lot of times you just get one shot at getting the case right, getting a conviction. And if a jury comes along and says, you know, it looks suspicious, but I don't think you have enough, especially nowadays, people are more educated about judicial systems and about courts and trials. I think the chances are that he might be able to get away with it. I mean, you could take Jerry to trial And you could say, look at all this suspicious stuff and we found blood. But then you have the jury saying, okay, well, was it Evan or Susan's blood? And then they'll be forced to say, well, we don't know, but since it was found in the home, that may not be good enough. I mean, if you think about it, what do they have against Jerry that says that they could arrest him, send him to trial, and get a conviction?
Prosecutors want a nicely packaged case. They, like you said, they don't want to work too hard about this. Not that they're lazy or anything, but it's because they have one shot. So they want as much information, as much evidence in the beginning to work with. And as soon as he lawyered up, that was a stonewall in the evidence. I understand. I don't really agree with it just because of some of the other cases we've covered. But I understand their hesitation. My problem is what's going to happen between now and sometime in the future that's going to change anything? Unless Jerry talks to somebody and confesses to something or sends some email, they're not going to find any more evidence. It's all been destroyed. So unless he screws up, I don't think there's going to be any more progress made on this case. I mean, we can sit here and say, hey, this mother and child are missing. Keep an eye out. Raise awareness. But really, there's only one person that needs to come forward and give information, and he's not. I'm not saying we should pressure him or publicly shame him, but until he does something, I think we're on hold. And I hate to say that. I don't want to be discouraging.
One of the common things that gets talked about in true crime is the perfect crime. How do you commit the perfect crime? We've seen cases that seem to be crimes where the perpetrators have gotten away with murder. One of those cases is the JonBenet Ramsey case. And we saw with that one that the reason it ended up the way it did was because the police were under the idea that this was a kidnapping. And so they lost a lot of valuable time and weren't able to lock down the house the way they should have because they were waiting for a phone call. And in this case, we had a situation where people were being respectful of the privacy of a woman who was going through some issues, but had at least told her friend, hey, my husband and I are working on it. You know, hopefully it works out. I love him. I want to stay with him. And so they didn't really feel like there was a danger. It was only after, like you said, the letter came back, the phones were shut off, that panic really set in, that they realized there was really no other course to take but to alert the sheriff's department. That's when things started. But that gave Jerry, if he was responsible, it gave him 2 months to clean and remodel a home, which, how is that not a perfect crime if he did it, right?
Well, I don't think there's really any crime that's perfect. It's just whether a crime is solvable and prosecutable. And there are a ton of crimes that aren't. Some random shooting on the street, is that a perfect crime? No, it's a random, chaotic, senseless murder with no connections. But if you can't solve it, does that make it perfect?
I think it's about as perfect as you can expect. In a lot of cases, especially the ones we cover, there are persons of interest. There are people who seem to be connected somehow, and the police just don't have enough. Another case is the Kyron Horman case, where that young boy disappeared, and the last person he was known to be with was his stepmother. The public has already convicted her, and yet the police aren't arresting her. So she's a free woman, and she has continued to try and change her name because she is hounded pretty much every day of her life because there is a large group of people who want to see her brought to justice. Now, since the police haven't arrested her, there's been no conviction in the case. It's again, people being passionate about their beliefs. And in this case, I could see the same thing happening where people blame Jerry Osborne, but all this is a lot of suspicion. Now, the sheriff's department seemed to hint that because of where they found the blood and how much they found of it, that to them, the crime likely happened in the home. And so with that, I think we could say this appears to be a case of foul play, but maybe good luck trying to get a conviction here.
I think of the Abaroa case that we covered where wife's murdered in the home, stabbed to death. Husband says he was out playing sports at the time. You think that it's open and shut. You think that, well, his alibi is a little shaky and who else would have murdered her, blah, blah, blah. Yet they couldn't get a conviction in that case at first. So here we are. I get why they're hesitant, but I wish they could put more pressure somehow.
Well, he has a lawyer. Without any cooperation, all they have is their suspicions, and then they have some blood. They have his internet searches. They could take it to court, and we've seen other cases where they seem to not have much, and they still take it to court, and they take that risk. I wonder if that will ever happen simply because they realize that they won't be able to get any more information. There won't be any additional evidence that can be collected. And it's really just a mystery at this point. Again, since it's an open investigation, they may not be sharing everything either. But it's been a year, no movement. I mean, I don't know how much time has to go by before we look at this and think, yeah, maybe he's just going to be a free man and they can't connect him to crime because they don't have any bodies. Susan and Evan have never been found. Because Susan and Evan remain missing, let's talk about what they look like. Just in case, Susan Osborne, 42 years old at the time, 5'3", 120 pounds. She had blue eyes. There is mixed information about her hair color, but what people should know is that she was a strawberry blonde, but she had dyed her hair back. You know, if you look up pictures of her, her hair is dark and it's because she had dyed it. Her son, Evan, turned 15 sometime after he went missing. He was 5'7", 160 pounds. He had brown hair and blue eyes.
You can email ourmissinghearts@gmail.com. You can also call the Elmore County Sheriff's Office at 334-567-5227, or Crime Stopper is at 334-251-STOP.
There is also a Facebook page for this case. It's Justice for Susie and Evan. And Susie is S-U-S-I-E. And I believe it's run by family members. So again, if you want to follow updates in this case, for instance, if they were to get any more information from the sheriff's department, I'm sure they would post about it. Until then, this is a place where they like to post about Susie and Evan, keeping their memories alive. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to the Generation Y podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.